We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
All the dramatic things I've ever seen. George's Box. Goodness gracious.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
And, you know, listen, baseball's this week, so we're Yankee fans. I'm not like, super pumped. Like, I'm excited baseball's back. I'm excited that I know what I'm going to be doing every evening for the next 5 months or more, hopefully more. But, like, we were so excited the first week of spring training that no one got hurt.
Same as last. So, like, I wrote this down, like, little state of the union. You know, last year during camp, we lost Montas, Severino, Rodon, Bader, Canely.
Frankie Montas was a Yankee. A lot of people forget that, including me.
Threw an inning in 2/3 last year. Boone thought he looked great. So that's 4 or 5 guys off of the 26 man. This year, they lost Efros, Cole, DJ, and Canely. You also have Rizzo and Judge, who are compromised to some degree. So, you know, last year, again, you lost 3/5 of the rotation. This year was mainly just Cole and some hobbled position players. But it's like one of these years I would like to come out on April 1st and just be healthy. Like, the games haven't even started yet. I think that's what's frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. It's tough. I'm happy that DJ's going on the IL, it looks like. And we're not going to be like, oh, maybe he'll play through it. You know, like, he can't play through it. So go to the IL. And then, like, then you at least you have a chance that he can be productive. Whereas if we're just going to, like, baby this for a couple months, he's going to end up on the aisle anyway.
What scares me about DJ is it took him almost a year to recover from, what, a stub toe or whatever that was in 2022. And, like, you know, he fouls a ball off his foot, clean x-ray, and he can't get ready to go in 2 to 3 weeks. Like, during the course of the season, you're going to run into a wall. You're going to – a ball's going to bounce off of your foot. Like, I feel like if you're a major league ball player – you got to be able to bounce back over 162. Like, a foul ball off the foot can't take you out of commission for 6 weeks. Like, that scares me.
A lot of guys on the wrong side of 30.
Oh, of course. 100%. But, like, doesn't that scare you in terms of him being able to just get through 162?
Yeah, I mean, but that was the scare even before he did this. Was like, you know, is the toe 100%? You know, what are we going to get out of him as we, like, get into the season? And it just kind of just, you know, it's happened a little sooner than we expected is the way I look at it.
And it also falls into a theme of players who get these injuries, decide not to get surgery in the offseason, try to manage it. And then it's just like this lifetime thing that they're going to deal with. And again, I'm not a doctor, but if it was me and they said, you know, you can suck it up and have surgery and then be normal and not have to think about it, or you can just not get the surgery and hobble around and worry about it forever. I'd get the surgery every time. It's a little
pleasure. Guaranteed contracts too. Like, it's not, you know, you're not.
Yeah.
Like, this could have been done 2 years ago.
Yep. Yeah. After 22 could have, and then look, Judge after last year. And again, the thing with Judge, it scared me when he said, this is something that's going to have to manage for the next 8 years. If that's the case, buddy, you should have went under the knife. Like, you're a ball player.
It's tough. Stroman looked good to close out spring training.
Stroman looks and sounds great. Yeah.
And that's what we got going for us. It's Stro and Prey at this point.
That is depressing. Clark looked okay on Monday. I think he went 5 shutout in the last spring training game. If those guys can be solid, but it's just like you want to be at full strength and they're not. I think Stroman's going to have a great year. Way he's talking, the way he's bouncing around.
I've always said, like, I've always liked Stroman. Even like when he was talking shit, he's talking shit. Like, I get that. I respect that. But he showed up. I've always had a respect for him from when he came back from the ACL, like super early, to be able to contribute. The guy's a gamer. He wants to go out there and compete. I think like being close to home gives him the opportunity to do that. And yeah, he said shit about the Yankees before, but I've said shit about a lot of teams. If one of them offered me a contract, I'd probably go play for them.
100%. And look, he's representing short guys like me. You know, he's out there at 5'7", bouncing off the mound, spinning around. What's not to love?
Yeah. So, I'm excited for him. I thought that, if Cole could be Cole and Stroman's doing what he's doing, Rodon would maybe figure it out. Rodon's a concern. The results haven't been there. Apparently he's healthy. But it's kind of like every other game, the results are there or not.
I think what we're going to get with Rodon is for every 3 starts, 2 of them are going to be good and 1 is going to be like a coin flip. Like that, like perfect example. He no hits the Phillies over 5 2/3 innings a week ago. Looks dominant. Looks like 2022 Rodon. And then on, I think it was Saturday or Sunday, he gets lit up and the same lineup scores 6 runs off of him. Just feels like you don't really know what you're going to get.
Yeah, and we're beyond the like, he's just working on stuff. Like early in spring training, I don't care because guys are trying to find their command. They're working on shit, whatever. But I don't know what we are going to like get out of him on a day-to-day basis. But he does seem to like understand, what's going on. Like he's not just like, I didn't have it. He's not blowing it off. He seems to like be holding himself accountable.
My expectations for Rodon, like I'm not one of these people that's like, he's going to get back to 2021 form. If he can give me 30 starts and just 3-8, 4-1, just something solid, above,
keep us in
average starter. Yeah.
Give this lineup a shot.
Those are my expectations for him. I expect Stroman to keep them in a lot of games. And Luis Gil, I am pumped. They made the right decision to give him the 5 spot. I think he's going to be great. I'm really excited for him.
I saw they had like him and Warren next to each other in their stats and they were like, who's it going to be? And it was like, if you just look at the stats, like it's obviously Hill. Like it's obviously him. He's got a plus fastball. So he's competitive. He I know I've said that about Stroman. He kind of reminds me a little bit he's got some fire to him. I think you've talked about like there's a little bit of swagger to him. I wish we didn't need him. I'm excited that it is him that we made. I feel like we made the right call.
Yeah. And he just reminds you of a guy that would come out of the Astros bullpen or the Astros rotation, like a big, scary guy that's throwing 100 miles an hour and fearless. Not one of these timid guys like we have. And I, a little bit of a hot take. I think by the end of the year, Luis Gil is either the closer or he's starting in a playoff game. Like I think if Clay Holmes has a couple of blowups, like I think he is the perfect guy to say, you have the 9th inning, come in, chuck in 99 with that slider. Now he's got to change. He's a guy where if they let Clay Holmes go or walk, I could definitely see him being the closer of the future. Now, if he stays as a starter, I could see him getting, game 3 of the first round if certain things go a certain way. Like I really think there are a lot of possibilities to unpack with him.
Yeah, I don't know if he will end up in the closer role. Hopefully he doesn't because hopefully he holds his own here. And then by the time Cole comes back, you got to make a decision about someone else or like someone else is going to get injured. Like it's going to happen. Nestor's going to need a couple of games or something like that. So like, I hope he can stick in the rotation because he has the ability to be dominant. And that's, you talk about Cole being like Clemens where you're just like, I know what the fuck I'm getting today. I'm not saying Heel's going to be Cole, he's going to be Clemens, but if you got a guy that's pumping that kind of speed, has that slider, and if he can use the change effectively, like, he can be dangerous, and over time maybe develop another pitch while getting better control of the change.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome. Like, think about just pure stuff. I mean, it's pure stuff compared to somebody like Clark Schmidt. Not even close. Like, I expect Luis Gil to have a much better year than Clark Schmidt, again, just based on stuff.
We just got to hope that he doesn't fall into the Sevy trap of just, like, kind of fucking up all the time.
Yeah, no. It's
we also got to get him a new number. 81's not going to work. We have so many silly numbers on this goddamn team.
Yeah, like, it looks like he should be catching Hail Marys, you know, in a football game wearing 81. Yeah, it's not going to work. Hey, like we've talked about, man, too many retired numbers.
Got to start unretiring them.
So I wrote down a couple of little predictions. I'm not, you know, generally this isn't a hot take kind of podcast, but I figured I'd kind of rip through five little things I'm predicting and you tell me what you think. So my first prediction is I think they go 90-72. I think they are a wild card team, but I think that they beat Baltimore in the DS, like as the road underdog. I think they get everybody healthy. I think they eventually lose to Houston in the ALCS. That is the path that I see the 2024 New York Yankees taking. What do you say to that?
I mean, you got really specific with it.
Think about this a lot.
So I've been thinking, I was actually thinking like 91-92 wins. Cause I think okay. So. And part of it's being optimistic, right?
Yes.
Because part of that is Soto's going to be Soto. Judge is going to stay healthy. Stanton's a little better than he has been in recent years. And then Cole comes back as Cole. So like, you are kind of banking on the, like, the trade deadline, you know, internal trades to a certain extent. I could see the scenario that you laid out where, like, if the Yankees play the Orioles in, like, a wild card series, you know, best of three in Camden, I think the Orioles piss down their legs. Like, I think it's easy to pick away at the, like, you know, pretty injured Yankees. But when it gets to be October and you've got a lineup that is hopefully Volpe, Soto, Judge, you know, everybody's lining up. That's tough. That's tough no matter where you are. And, you know, we have history at Camden. I don't know about Houston. I mean, Houston's obviously good. You know, Verlander's not 100%. I'm sure Verlander, I don't want to like discount Verlander that he's not going to be anything, but I just feel like they're not, their lineup now isn't what people want to portray it to be. Because you also got to remember, like, Bregman's getting older, Altuve's getting older. They're more likely to like come up with an injury.
Yeah, no, you're right. Part of the reason of that is, like, I'm assuming the Rangers are losing Montgomery. I don't think they really added anybody. So, and they lost a couple of bullpen pieces. But I mean, more, and just diving into the division a bit more, like, the Orioles won 101 games last year. I think they go down to like 94-93. Like, I still think they regress. And before the Cole injury, I would have said Yanks to take the division hands down. But I just think when you factor in the Cole injury, like, I think we'll be right there with Baltimore. And I think maybe at the end, guys are banged up, we rest them, and we maybe like almost concede it a little bit. Yankee, in that last
I think
week.
The Yankees could win the division.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Yankees are going to win the division. And kind of exactly like you said. And I can even see us like struggling to the point where like we're, you know, we're a later wild card team. Like we're not like, oh, we just missed it.
But yeah, like, no, I could see that too. And that's really not the, if you think about it, like if we're the sixth seed, we're likely playing the winner of the Central the Twins, I'd sign up for that.
Yeah.
Another place that I wouldn't worry about playing. My next little one here, I think, like I already said this one, I think Luis Gil starts a playoff game, whether that's because Nestor's hurt, whether that's because Rodon's hurt, whether that's because Schmidt falls off a cliff. I just think he's going to start a playoff game at some point.
If Luis Gil starts a playoff game, that's a good thing for us because that means he's stuck with the rotation and with not having Cole and having to bump our, you know, guy who had to battle for the fifth spot. We're still in the playoffs. Like, yeah, I think he, you know, that's a good situation for us.
I think Gleyber Torres hits 30 home runs. He hasn't done that since 2019. He has some concentration lapses and issues, but it's a contract year. I expect him to be fully locked in. I expect him to work harder and focus more than he has. And I think he has a monster year and then walks. 30 bombs for Torres.
I mean, Glaber's an all-time, like, you could just tell, like, contract year guy.
Yes.
Like, I think we've always said that about him. You know, so there's no reason to doubt that. I think that with the way the lineup is constructed, there's really, like, not a lot of pressure on him, which will play to his benefit. You know, he's got 3 home runs in spring training. He hit 25 last year in what is, and I don't care if you look at the end of your numbers, you go, oh, you know, 273, 25 home runs. Like, it was an up and down year for him. You know, he'll do some stupid stuff on the base paths. You know, one thing I'm really just not looking forward to is watching guys get thrown out going second to third on a ground ball in front of them.
Ground ball to short.
Yeah, just really fucking, really tired of that shit. But I'm hopeful that, you know, like, go get paid. Go get paid, young man. We're not going to be able to pay him. He deserves more, you know, than we're going to be able to give him. So go out there, get paid, you know, go. I don't even know where he would go. Hopefully nowhere in the division.
I've always said the Marlins.
Well, he's the most Marlins-looking guy. Yeah. Yeah, but I just don't think they're going to pay him the way he wants to get paid. Because they're cheap. He'd be a good, like, Marlins trade. Or if he had a bad season, having to take a prove-it deal in Miami.
You're right about last year. It felt like such a hollow 273 and 25 bombs. It felt like a lot of garbage time, a lot of August and September when they were kind of cooked. It's kind of how I felt about DJ last year. But I think no matter where they are in the standings, he's going to be locked in. I remember specifically,
like, there were times last year where you could just be like, oh, you lost us that game. Like, the Glaber lost us that game. Take one off the war.
It's always like in Toronto or in Tampa. I feel like it's always in the domes where he just, like, loses the ball or he forgets how many outs there are. It's nauseating. Like, Cano did that for like a year or two and then stopped, and Torres just never grew out of it.
I think part of it is, like, Cano did it, but Cano, you know, Cano had to, like, give up his number to Clemens. He had Jeter there. There was A-Rod there. Like, you had guys who could go and talk to him. Who's going to, like, who can go talk to him on this roster? Like, Judge is a captain. He runs in before everyone and he changes the gum. He doesn't do a lot of, like, press. He's not deflecting for guys because there's always, like, you know, questions around his injuries. Like, I haven't seen him really captaining, right? People like to be like, oh, I'll put the C on his chest for forever because he runs in and he high fives everybody. But we haven't heard of him calling, like, players only meetings. As he came into, like, a leadership role or where he should be, Cole came in. You could maybe get, like, a guy like Rizzo to just be like, hey, I played with Javi Baez and he's a jerk off. Do you want to go be a jerk off like him? At least he got a World Series. You don't have that. So that, like, Cano, there was a shift. He was kind of put in his place a little bit where I just don't think there's anyone who could do that.
That's a great call out. And you also think about the coaching staffs. Like, I remember, you know, when I was, like, Cano was coming up and I was in middle school reading articles about how Larry Bowa would just kick his ass and, like, infield drills and make him show up early. You know, the Yankees had all these old school, old time coaches. And now it seems like the coaches are just like a bunch of bros, a bunch of their friends. Like, I don't think any of these coaches are kicking Glaber's ass in practice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a soft, you know, coaching staff because Boone is everybody's friend.
Right. Yeah. He does the batting stances, the imitations, plays catch with them, takes infield. He's very much like blurring the line of friend and boss.
Nobody calls him Mr. Boone.
Nobody. Like, it's all Booney.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah. Booney's great. Like, you know, not coach, not, you know, Mr. Torrey would never take that.
You're right, man. You're right. I think Anthony Rizzo hitting behind Soto and Judge is going to get a ton of good pitches to hit. I think he hits 35 bombs, which would be a career high if he's healthy. I think Rizzo in that four hole behind Soto and Judge is just going to have a monster year.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that we can break up this lineup and go more left-right, the protection that Soto gives, having a clear head for Rizzo, like he puts together professional at-bats, sees a good amount of pitches. And like when healthy, he's been hot. Like he came in and was hot for us. He's played well. You know, the only time he stunk is when it's just like, you know, he had his bell rung. And so if he can stay healthy, so like nothing matters to Soto. Soto is going to be Soto, right? Judge, I think, obviously Judge is power numbers, but in terms of like plate discipline, presence, is just a hair behind Soto. So he needs a little protection. But Rizzo, and like similar to Glaber, can really benefit off the strength of this lineup and start to see, because even, you know, they don't have Soto behind them. So like, they're going to see better pitches. You just like, you can't take a breath. You just, when you get through Soto and Judge, even if you get them out, like you blink for a second and Rizzo will put one on the short porch.
Yeah. That's what I'm banking on. Like I'm banking on a lot of, okay, Soto and Judge both get walked with two outs. Rizzo comes up and doubles them home. Or he hits a 3-run homer. Like I'm expecting him, you know, we keep talking about DJ, Rizzo, and Stanton, who's going to bounce back. The more I think about this, I just think Rizzo, if any of those guys are going to be that guy, it's going to be him. I'm not worried about this tight lat at all. Like Rizzo's pretty tough. He's not somebody like Stanton who I think this is going to linger for 6 months and be a problem. I think Rizzo will be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think Rizzo, this is the last year of his contract. Like to a certain extent, he's playing for his career, you know, because, you know, he's at an age where, you know, it turns into like a non-roster invite pretty quickly.
Joey Votto this year.
Yeah.
Especially with first base, like they're not getting paid at all. Nobody really values them.
Yeah.
You're seeing that across the market.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
My last one, I think Austin Wells is the starting catcher by the end of the year. If not only for the fact that they love squeezing lefties in whenever they can. And I think if like him and Trevino have equal numbers, they're going to give it to Wells.
Provided the defense is there, you know, Trevino's been really good at framing pitches. He won that gold glove. I think when you look at this rotation, I don't know if like Wells is going to be somebody, you know, if he's going to get like a certain guy to work with. But you know, when you look at Heel, Schmidt, to a certain extent, Nestor, like they kind of need help behind the plate, not just from like framing pitches, but just like the confidence in calling the pitches, being able to like work with them and tell them the right thing. Like they're not quite like established veterans, even though I know Nestor's been around for a while. I think he is, you know, gonna, I think he's gonna be able to try to hold his own. But I do think, you know, the lefty bat trying to get left, right, Wells has shown some pop. You know, he's really excited to be a Yankee. He showed, you know, he went in there. He had every opportunity to be in AAA to start the season. And he went out there and he proved it. So, you know, he gets a shot, you know, in the big leagues. Ben Roverdant, whatever, however you say his name, looks like he's getting released. Tough one. You know, IKF remains the best thing in that trade.
And honestly, it's kind of refreshing. Like, I'm kind of glad Higgy's gone. It was nothing against him personally, but I was tired of seeing him come up and pop up and strike out and not throw.
He was never going to be the future.
It was time, man. Yeah,
right. You want your backup catcher to either be a like really good veteran who adds something to the young pitchers or to the young clubhouse. You know, a guy who's kind of like AJ Pruszynski bounced around a lot at the end. A guy who's like been around and won, and like maybe he brings some kind of culture. Or you want it to be the next guy. And Higgy's just, you know, he was never going to be the starting catcher for the Yankees on like a multi-year deal.
I also just thought that him and Trevino were kind of redundant together there, but like Wells and Trevino, I feel like are the perfect complement because Wells is more offensive. Trevino is more defensive. One's a lefty, one's a righty. I love our catching situation. And if it's like a 55-45 split or a 60-40 split, I'm fine with that. I feel like it doesn't have to be one person in every day.
Yeah. No, and I'm fine with that because also, you know, it takes a lot on the body. So if you can get, you know, it's not the, you know, if you've got two quarterbacks, you've got no quarterbacks situation.
Right, right.
You know, you can go out there and because you don't have, because no one's catching and hitting 300 anymore. Catchers aren't hitting 25, 30 home runs anymore. You know, I don't know. I could probably pay a little bit of closer attention, but there's no one I'm thinking of is like, well, he's got the arm that, you know, everyone's getting thrown out. Remember like when Gary came up. So, you know, I could see teams going, if you can get two good catchers, one bats lefty, one bats righty, or there is the ability to have like someone more offensive minded, someone more defensive minded, it could really work out on saving the body. Because when you get into those, you know, long, hot stretches of games in July and August, you know, this is going to, it can come down to like some wear and tear.
100%. Let's talk about the lineup. So before the DJ injury, Boone was adamant that DJ would be the leadoff hitter. Neither of us really agreed with it. From where I'm sitting, it seems like it's going to be Verdugo against righties and Torres against lefties. That would be my guess of who would lead off, followed by Judge Soto in whatever order, and then Rizzo. Do you see it that way, or do you see it differently at all?
I mean, I think that's where it's going to be a start. Like the hope that everyone has is that Volpe gets up there and he, you know, takes command. He's had a good spring training. It's also funny because like, I don't remember exactly what the rules are, but there are certain rules about when you're the road team in spring training, like you got to send some people. You can't just say,
oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's the guy. He's the starter that goes to every game.
Right.
He is on, I don't know how many home games he's played. Like, he is every road game, and he's, you know, using it as the opportunity to get more at bats and get better and improve. So, you know, the same way it's like if Heal is starting a playoff game for us, that's probably a good thing. Volpe, like, we need Volpe to go up and take that leadoff role because that's what he is, because Glaber's not that fast. And so, and he likes to go big fly. So if we can get Volpe out there and set the tone, he'll see better pitches. He's got like a 30% strikeout rate. So if he can shorten his swing, not feel like he has to hit 20 home runs or whatever he hit last year, and just like slap the ball, get on base, get out there and run, you're going to get a lot of opportunities between Soto and Judge, not just for their power, but their ability to go into the gaps.
Oh, definitely. I would love to see Volpe's homers get cut in half. You know, just hit 10 home runs and hit 260.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a much better year than hitting 205 with 21 bombs or whatever he did last year.
Yeah. Go out there. Yeah. Hit 260, steal 30 bases, and, you know, be ready to run. Go first to third on a Judge gapper into right center field.
Yeah. They face a lefty. It'll be Framber Valdez on opening day. So I would think Torres, there's nobody else I can really trying to think of like another righty they might put at leadoff, and I'm not really seeing it. I am very concerned about Oswaldo Cabrera playing third base every day. He just is a guy to me. He just looks like a quad A guy that can't hit major league pitching. I don't care that he plays seven different positions if he's hitting 170. Like, that doesn't do anything for me. And I'm disappointed they didn't get any other kind of depth backup infielder once Peraza went down. That's a major hole in my mind.
They are, you know, I mean, I don't have high hopes. They are monitoring, like, who becomes available between now and Thursday. You never know. But, yeah, I mean, Cabrera is one of those guys. Why am I blanking on the guy's name who played for the Yankees and Toronto? He's in Boston now. Asian guy from California.
Ref Snyder.
Yes, he's a Rob Ref Snyder. He is a guy where it's like, yeah, you're really not good enough here. And then in 5 years, I'm like, oh, that guy's still in the league. he got an extension? What the fuck? He's Rob Ref Snyder. That's exactly who he is. Second baseman of the future, possible left fielder of the future.
And the shitty part is it's like it's the same thing over and over. Like every single time he's rolling over and hitting a ground ball to second base. It's like when you're getting out in the same way every time, that's where I lose all hope.
Yeah, if there was like no adjustment being made. And like, don't get me wrong, he robbed some home runs. He had some big hits when he first came up. That was fun. If that turned into a big playoff run, you know, maybe not Shane Spencer, but like you need that kind of like boost going into the playoffs. That'd be great. But like the shine has come off of that. And now, you know, he's our number eight hitter because we're hoping Volpe will be just a second leadoff man, like they tell kids in Little League.
Second leadoff. Yeah, no, it's disappointing. And you also think about like what other guys signed for, whether it was, I think Gio got $1.5 million from the Tigers. Like these guys, quality backups, quality depth pieces, were basically signing for free. And Kike Hernandez was $3 million. Like we had chances to, there were chances to correct this and they didn't. And now it's biting them in the ass.
Well, I think, I don't know. Cause Gio's in Detroit, right?
Yeah. He signed for $1.5 million for 1 year.
Their starting third baseman? Or is he coming off the bench?
I know he was competing. I don't know who the Tigers named as there.
Yeah, like I think, you know, when you think of Kike, like he wanted to see probably more of a future, more of an opportunity. It seems like the Yankees didn't go after Gio, but like Kike made a decision to stay in, in LA so he could bet on games. And, you know, he didn't want to come here. Because also when you go into it, it's, well, am I competing? You're not competing. It's DJ's job. Like this was DJ's job.
Yeah. So
only an injury was going to take it away. And then beyond that, you've got other young guys. You've got Cabrera, you've got Peraza. So when it's the beginning of spring training, you're like, well, if I go in on even just like a minor league deal or like a chance, I may end up getting 10 at bats and now I'm on the street.
Yeah, no, and there's really no, we don't have any other depth. That's the other thing. Like, I'm not saying there's anybody that should be getting it over Cabrera. They just don't have anybody. But it's just,
he's our best option. Just our best option sucks.
Yeah, and like he's basically the third string third baseman, right? Peraza was second string.
Yeah,
and he's down too. It's just shitty timing. Like all in the same spot.
And then Longoria and Donaldson's available. These are all options.
You know who else is available? You know who looked really good? It was Robbie Cano.
I tweeted yesterday, can he play third base? Like, does he have an opt-out out of that contract?
Look great.
I mean, just like, hey, Robbie, we'll give you $1 million. Like, what are you making in Mexico? Give him $1 million. We're probably going to cut you in a couple of weeks. But you have to put the pinstripes back on.
Honestly, it will never happen. That would be a blast. People could dig up their old jerseys from 2011, 2012. And I think at this point, he'd be a decent, like, clubhouse influence. He's a seasoned vet.
He won
as a Yankee.
As long as it's just like, hey, I mean, unless you light the world on fire, we're probably going to release you in a couple of weeks. But like, come on in, have fun.
You have a Robbie Cano day in May
because he just signed on March 1st with that team, with the Diablos. So you know, and he didn't play last year. He's a part owner of like the, I don't know, it was like Saudi Arabia league.
Yeah.
Where they had two games. He went 2 for 7. but yeah, no, I mean, he looked good. I don't know if he could play third base, but I mean, I thought about it of just like, is anyone just asking him, like, what's the opt-out situation? You could come back to let the Diablos hype that, like, they got you back to the big leagues.
This is totally random, but when they let him walk, it felt like, and I'm going back over 10 years ago, but like everybody was split. There was 50% really wanted to pay him and keep him whatever it took, and the other 50% thought he was lazy or whatever and wanted him gone. Where were you on Cano in 2013?
I was fine with letting him leave for that amount of money.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. He was asking for too much money that he wasn't going to live up to, and he didn't.
He didn't in the end, but I think we're really going off the rails here. I think if he was still around in like 2016, 2017, 2018, like I think maybe if they have him in 17 or 18, maybe they win. Like he was still like 2017, 2018, he was okay. And they had like Starlin Castro over there.
I mean, he was off the rails. In 2017, it was his last time being an all-star. So you got to remember, he got paid for 18, 19, 20, 21. Because he was suspended for the whole season. But like,
he got suspended again.
22. And I think he still got paid last year to play nowhere. Yeah. He made $24 million last year to not play baseball. So like, in 2017,
Yankee,
that would have been great. But in 2017, you wouldn't have had, who knows what that opportunity is for Glaber then.
Right.
But I mean, you're looking at like in 2017, 24, 100 something million dollars you're flushing down the toilet to have maybe won in 2017.
No, you're right. But I mean, look, 2009 to 2013, he was as good as anybody. Guaranteed 310 with 25
every
bombs.
Day.
Played every single day. For you want to call him lazy, you want to call him this. The guy never missed a game, ever.
Yeah, it was a bad contract. And it ended up being a bad contract.
You're right. I guess I more wish that he won. It didn't seem like he really wanted to stay and retire a Yankee, which was kind of disappointing because he would have, I mean, not with the steroids, but he was on track to be a Monument Park guy for sure.
If he stayed and he took less money, I forget how much, I feel like it wasn't a ton.
The Mariners gave him like $50 million more than we were.
Yeah, but like
offering.
$50 million in the grand scheme of things really isn't a ton of money, because like he could have made that up in being a Yankee for life and endorsing.
I agree.
And winning, you know, winning more World Series. You know, 2014, his first year there, he came in fifth in MVP.
Yes.
You get a little Yankee rub there. Maybe you find your way to being, an MVP. So, you know, he wanted the money, and I get it. I'm not going to begrudge a guy for that. I think in the long run, it could have been worth more money to him to have been a Yankee his entire career.
I agree.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Aaron Judge has been playing some left field.
Yeah.
Spring training. This begs the question, how often are they going to go Grisham in center, Soto in right, and Judge in left? And would that be your preferred alignment?
I don't love Judge playing that much center field because, you know, just his body. But I really like Verdugo. I like Verdugo being in the lineup. It makes Stanton that much more of a pain in the ass. You're almost like you start to like hope for an injury if he starts off really slow, because then Judge can get some time there and Soto can get some time there. I mean, Grisham's a really good defender, you know, a light bat, but I like that they're just letting Soto play right field. I don't give a fuck about the Judge's chambers.
You never did. What's your line? Couple of union guys.
Couple of union guys. 1, 2, 9 cigarette breaks, and we're in there. Union mandated cig breaks.
Couple coffee breaks. Yeah, no, I mean, it's like, is it better offensively to have Stanton in the lineup? Probably, but I don't want to risk Aaron Judge's health to get Stanton more at bats. Like, I think the long-term, they might be better off long-term having Verdugo as the DH and having Grisham, Judge, and Soto in the field, or having whatever Verdugo and Wright and Soto do. Like, they might be better off with Grisham in center and Stan being the odd man out. They just might.
I mean, it's a small sample size, 41 at bats. Stanton's hitting .317 with 4 home runs, 11 RBIs. Now, also, he had that monster game where he had got like 8 of those RBIs. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see, you know, what he ends up being. If he can go out there and he can, you know, hit .270, it's a godsend. You know, at the same time, you got to remember, Stan only plays half a season anyway. Like, the injury's coming. Same way the slider down and away is coming.
And most seasons were like praying that he doesn't get hurt because we need him to be the Robin to Judge's Batman. And this year it's like, if he gets hurt, that's fine.
I'm not going to lose any sleep.
No, and their defense would be, I mean, like, you know, with Grisham in center and Judge in left, that'd be pretty good.
It'd be really good defense.
The defense with Judge in center, Soto in right, and Verdugo in left will not be great. Like, spoiler alert, that is not a good defensive alignment.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Judge has not won in a Gold Glove award. No matter how many people think that he's won, he has not.
He could in right. He's not winning one in center. No. Theoretically, he could in right.
Yeah, but like that's a – but you don't want to go into the season with the like, well, maybe if our star player plays out of position and puts the team on his back. Although, like, every team does that with Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
He'll play fucking anywhere.
It's crazy he's playing short. Yeah, no, I think the more I think about it for the long term, like, I know it sounds stupid to say I'd rather have Trent Grisham playing in than Stan, but for the long term health of the entire squad, it might make more sense. Look, a lot of pressure on Stan, man. He really needs to get off to a fast start.
He's got to fight for his job.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, man. Earn it.
Mookie Betts turns 32 this year. Started off as a starting second baseman, became a starting right fielder, and now at 31, turning 32 in October, he's a starting shortstop. Insane career arc.
And he played center field for a year or two in Boston.
Did he? Probably. He probably played some games out. Yeah, no, he did. He did. Yeah, he played for a couple of – he won Gold Gloves out there.
It's really crazy. Like, I know we joke about this, but, like, the Red Sox – whatever, drafted, developed him. He turned 26, 27. They were like, you know, we're not going to pay this guy. Like what were they thinking?
It's crazy.
It's wild, right?
He's won 6 Gold Gloves.
Doesn't miss time. Doesn't have any weaknesses to his game.
But no. Goes out there, plays hard, is out there all the time. It's crazy. 6 Gold Gloves. I think they're all in the outfield, though. I don't think he won any at second base.
Yeah, that makes sense. He'll be serviceable at short. You could. I'm sure he could play third if you asked him.
Yeah. I mean, he. It's messed up. He's like one of those, like Dustin Pedroia, like whatever. I just want to get out there and play.
And you look at his body, and then you look at the guys on our team that are always getting injured. I mean, he's what, 5'11", just looks like if you were walking down the street and saw him, you wouldn't be like, oh, this is a superstar athlete.
He's 5'9", 180 pounds.
5'9". I overshot him by, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Saw him at ShopRite, you'd be like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe play softball or something.
And just like a charming guy. I've seen him do, he does some stuff for like Bleacher Report, like a podcast or something like that. I've seen some of the clips online. Like really like funny, charismatic guy. Just unfair. We went with the Monstars.
Yeah, no. We did. Jordan Montgomery, still out there. We are linked to him along with the Orioles, Phillies, Red Sox, and Mets. I still don't think there's any chance we sign him, but there's been a little bit of buzz. Any change for you on that end?
No, I mean, I saw the tweets like his market's finally developing. And it's like, it is March 25th.
It's Easter. Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? You know, our guys are ready. Like, because now what's the ramp up period, even for whoever gets him? Which, and he's still Jordan Montgomery. He's still Jordan Montgomery. Like, you know, it's for everybody who thinks like I'm too tough on Brian Cashman. What does it say that 2 years ago we said this guy would not get the ball in the playoffs? And then we go out and we give him a huge contract.
Yeah, no, it's look, I got a lot of tough memories of him coming in. It's like the numbers look good when you, I guess as a Yankee, he had a 3.94, which is okay, but it just felt like it was a lot of garbage time. Like it felt like in those big rubber games, he was always putting them in a hole.
Yeah, you couldn't rely on him to do it. You know, he had a decent 2021, but in 2022, he was having a decent season. I just think we're so bad at evaluating players.
Yeah.
We're just awful at it. But like, I don't think he is a huge, you know, a guy, again, 30-year-old guy, wrong side of 30. So, you know, he's also 31. How many years do you give him? Once more than you're probably willing to, or makes sense.
You're also buying him when his stock is the highest it's ever going to be. Just came off the World Series as well as he's ever pitched. I still have a little bit of trepidation there. The problem is it seems like they don't have enough arms. Although look, hey, Yamamoto, based on that first start, maybe we dodged a bullet.
I told you the guy's a quadruple A player. You like the guy never played in the major leagues. So, you know, I'm not saying like his whole career is going to be that, but at the same time, that was pretty fucking bad.
Yeah.
And while we've been recording this, Otani gave a statement and says, I never bet on baseball or any other sports or never asked somebody to do it on my behalf. I've never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports.
Okay. This is all I'm going to say to that. Anybody who's ever gambled anywhere knows that no bookie on the face of this earth is going to give an interpreter that makes, I don't know, a couple hundred grand a year, $5 million in credit.
No,
it just doesn't add up. It's just business. It's economics. Google it. He knew something.
There's no way he knew nothing.
No way.
Like, whether it be, even if it's like, yeah, hey, listen, I was betting on soccer. Now, I don't think Otani bet on baseball. I like to believe that. If he's betting on soccer, it's a fine. That's all it is. I bet on soccer.
Whatever. Anything. There's football. There's horse racing. There's dog racing. There's like a million different. You can bet on anything. You bet on the hot dog eating contest.
But yeah, you don't get to $4.5 million. And the odds that it was like the LA Times and ESPN have gotten all the information. It's not $4.5 million. We found $4.5 million.
Right.
And like a lot of people jump in on it, like Brandon Lang, who's the two for the money, the Al Pacino movie, like Matthew McConaughey played him.
Yeah.
The real guy said, like, because he's out on the West Coast, he was like, no, I'm tied in with, like, I know the bookie. And he told me, like, a couple months ago, like, yeah, I got Otani, and it's between 10 and 25 million. Do I know that that is, like, totally true? No, I don't think so. But, yeah, but apparently he's going forward with the, like, my former translator stole all this money, which if that's the case, the only way to look good here is you have to press charges against him and you have to take action against the bank. Because that's the other thing. Like, financial institutions aren't moving that amount of money without the primary person being involved.
Right, dude, 100%. I think it's very obvious. The other thing, when he's feigning ignorance, there's literally a quote where it's like, oh, they're together 365 days a year. Like, I'm pretty sure he, like, lives in – the translator lives in the guest house or something. Like, they basically live together. The idea that he just had no idea – they know everything about each other. They know when each other's taking a shit, what they're eating for lunch. Like, this idea that he didn't know, it's just – it's comical.
It is, like, you know, when you hear about – like married couples who it just like turns out like the guy didn't have a job and he's in gambling debt and like all this stuff. And you're like, how did you not see this every day? Like, it's pretty similar to that of like, yeah. How did you, cause imagine just the sweating of like $4.5 million. And also the timing where it's like, you guys are dicking around in the dugout right after that game. They're like, oh, he's going to say something.
Yeah.
You knew before that game. It's weird that the story changing. I'm not saying that like Ohtani was betting on baseball and he's the worst guy in the world, but like what we've been told is not the truth also.
No shot. Now, I still think like even if he did know everything and even if these were his bets, the league is going to do whatever they can to protect him. He's a global icon. He's a two-way player. The league loves promoting him more than any player I think I've ever seen maybe. So I don't think anything's going to happen to him. Can you imagine if this was a Yankee?
Oh, if he had signed with like the Yankees, the Mets, or the Red Sox.
Oh my God.
You wouldn't have gotten like, it came out on Wednesday night that the guy who signed the biggest contract ever, one of the biggest sports stars in the world, either bet on sports or his and Turber stole $4.5 million. And he got till Monday at dinner time before he said something to the press. Insane.
Right.
How does that happen in this day and age?
Well, dude, the Dodger media or security was like blocking the locker off. Like nobody could go talk to him. That would never happen in the Bronx or Queens.
No,
whatever.
No. Crazy.
It seems like he has his own rules. He has his own, like, you know, it's like how last year he wouldn't talk to the media unless after the day he pitched, because that was required by the league. It just seems like he kind of thinks he can play by his own rules. I'll be honest. I would love to see him go down. I'm sick of hearing about him. I don't like him. I don't like that he never considered us.
Listen, as I've gotten older, I've realized I don't like baseball. I like the Yankees. So like, yeah, I want everybody to go down if you don't play for the Yankees.
That is such a true – it's such a true quote in some
like,
ways.
Yeah. Like I used to think – I used to like baseball. Now I like the Yankees.
Like have you – when was the last time you sat down and were like, oh, I want to watch the Dodgers and the Cardinals tonight?
Dude, fuck it. I could probably look through my MLB TV history and whenever I switched from all the teams to one team.
Yeah.
Like when I still lived in New York – I would keep up on other, if there was a big game, you know, I'd throw it on for a little bit, you know. But I don't know if I ever for the 2018 season, I don't know if I just had the Yankee package or if I had the whole league.
Yeah, no, I think I only get the Yankees one, but somehow I always end up getting every game. So I guess I probably shouldn't say that, but let's see. We got our first series preview. 4 games in Houston. It'll be Nestor, Rodon, Stroman, Clark. I think they win one.
A lot of people going to fucking Houston too that I see on Twitter. Like so many people.
Yeah. Like I would have no in. Like that would be again last place I'd want to go.
Zero interest in going to Houston in late March.
There's a book. Bob Clappish wrote a book about. It was like a couple years ago. Inside the Empire. And he talks about how it's the last MLB stadium where you can like smoke cigarettes in the like inside.
Right, and
like,
I won't go now. Now I mean that's America right there. I love cigarettes. I don't want to smoke any cigarettes. I just like when people are smoking them. I don't want to smell them. I just like to see people smoking cigarettes, being real patriots.
You like bringing them to weddings, right? Like a pack.
Oh well, yeah. I mean that's how you meet people. I haven't smoked a cigarette in January, but besides that, like it had been a year. Like I'm good for like one cigarette a year.
Okay. Just like a little nostalgia for you.
Yeah. It's a thing like for millennials too. I've seen it on like TikTok, like elder millennials just being like, you know, I used to go out. I was a drunk smoker. You know, maybe I'd buy a pack here and there. It'd last me like a couple of weeks. Man, what I, you know, and now every once in a while I go out drinking. I don't really anymore because I got kids, but like you go out drinking. And it's just like what I would give for just fucking half a cigarette. I think like the last time I went out in Philly was May of 2023.
Okay.
Maybe. No, it was May of 2022. The last time like I went out like with my brother and my buddy and we were at Frankie Bradley's.
Okay. Yeah.
And they have a cigarette machine where you can put your card into and you go and it's like cha-chunk, like you pull the fucking
thing. Wow.
And I was like, yes, I need a pack. Like I need a pack. I smoked half of one cigarette and I felt awful. But like I have a cigarette friend. Like I have a friend who he'll occasionally just be like, I gotta take the steam off and have one outside his house. But for the most part, I only smoke with him and he only smokes with me.
Okay.
But he carries American Spirits.
Ooh.
Yeah, 20 minutes to kill. Have an American Spirit.
It's funny. I've never really seen anybody at my counterparts, peers, friends, whatever, smoke a cigarette until I got to college. And it's like everybody, you know, like outside after the party or like mid-party. And I'm like, wow, I did not know this many people smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, there was a little bit like in high school because I grew up in the Bronx with like – every girl's like half Italian with like crunchy hair and a North Face Gore-Tex smoking like Marlboro menthol ultralights, which is just like you're not even smoking a cigarette at that point. You're just like licking a mint wrapper at that point. Like you're not even ultralights. And then, yeah, it'd be like, oh, like I'll smoke a cigarette like because now you're trying to be cool with girls. And then we started dipping. They thought that was gross. I get that. And then, yeah, college. I would like maybe occasionally have a cigarette. I didn't really smoke much in college, but like you would watch people become smokers.
Interesting.
That like it carried into like out of college. Like it started off as like, I'll have a drunk cigarette. Oh, I live in the frat house. I can just smoke a cigarette here.
Right.
I'm a smoker. Yeah. Like now that's what am I having for breakfast? A cigarette.
How many of these games in Houston do you think they win?
What do we got? Three?
There's four. I think they win one.
I'd like to get a split. Like a split would be such a big like morale boost.
I'd be pumped for a split.
Yeah. A split would be fun. It's, you know, it's unfortunate, but like we are at the like, can we tread water for a little bit? Like point in the season.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, you have four there, then they're going to fly from Texas to Phoenix, play in another dome in an unfamiliar place right in Arizona, have two late night games and an afternoon game. For those first seven games are going to be a slog, and then they have the off day. But like for those first seven, I would definitely sign up to be 3-4 coming into the home opener.
3-4 would be nice. If we end up 4-3, like I'll start planning the parade.
Yeah,
it's like, but like we're also getting this like some of this, you know, to a certain extent. I know Houston's not all the way west, but like we're getting some West Coast fucking away games out of the way.
We are. They do. I don't know if you look. They have like I think it's a 10-day West Coast swing that's going to be. I think it's like end of May, June, where it's like Giants, Padres, Athletics. I think.
Yeah.
All in a row, like 10 in a row.
They always like when possible they do those because it's just like it makes life a lot easier if you can go out there. Yeah, it's like Padres and because they're in San Diego for Memorial Day weekend. Like if I didn't have kids, I'd go have fun.
Yeah.
But it's Padres, Angels, Giants.
That's going to be rough. So again, Thursday, 4:10, they start. I kind of like it. Now that the forecast is going to be a storm all up and down the Northeast, kind of like that we're opening up into a dome. A little weird opening on the road, but I'm probably going to grill up some sausages, you know, get a couple of cold ones, have a nice little Thursday happy hour type thing. You got any plans for Thursday? Going to do anything special?
No. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we'll have hot dogs for dinner, but like also it's like 4:00. Like I have little people that I have to feed your kid doesn't like eat real food yet, right?
Oh, she does.
Oh, okay. Well, like I have to like, they have to have like a full like meal. So, you know, it does kind of like throw a kink into it. So I am like working towards being like, all right, like 4:15, I'm done for the day. You know, that 4:10 start. All right, we'll call it 4:15. Yeah, no. And then like, it is nice to be like, what do we, oh, what's on Netflix? Don't care. Doesn't matter. Cause like Friday night we're watching, you know, we got a Saturday night, like Saturday, I've got something with my in-laws at like 2:00. So like, we'll be getting home about 7:15. That's great.
I like when they're on Fox on Saturday, like Saturday, 1:00, especially when you have kids, it's tough. It's like right in the middle of the day.
It is like you, to a certain extent, like there have been numerous times where, and maybe this makes me a bad fan, where like I forgot that they opened the season on the road. Like to a certain extent, like April 5th, the season starts.
No, I get it. That's when it really comes alive. And again, like really hope Friday the 5th is good weather. I'm like, if you look at the forecast Thursday, brutal. Like the Orioles are going to get rained out. The Phillies are going to get rained out. The Mets are going to get rained out. This is like quarter of an inch, you know, half an inch of rain. So now I kind of like that we open up on the road. I was bitching about it a week ago, but
yeah, I told you like that. The idea of there's a way to do it where every game is in a place where it's not going to rain or it'll be indoors. And, you know, I think that it makes sense to do that. So you get as many games in as possible, because you also have the theory that because it's a 1:00 game and a 7:00 game at home, that I don't think they start the season with a doubleheader at home.
That's 100% what's going to happen. So Friday the 5th gets rained out. What do you think they're going to do then?
Opening day Saturday.
Okay, so that all the people that paid a premium for opening day tickets, like what happens to them? To me,
sucks. Like it rains sometimes.
You don't think they'd start with a doubleheader? Interesting.
I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one to be like, oh, we're 8 games, you know, into the season. We're 8 games in the season. We're playing a doubleheader already. We play this team. They come back here a bunch of other times.
Yeah.
There are other off days. You know, yeah, it's not Arizona.
Right.
We're going to play them a lot. Right now, I mean, I'm looking at the Philly weather. It's supposed to rain on that day. But the weather is looking good for WrestleMania. We are in this, 60, 62. I mean, it's in the evening. I'm pumped. You should be too.
Weather's going to break soon. It's been a little chilly these past few days, man. But I'm happy for you that you're going to get good weather for the wrestling games or matches or whatever you guys call them.
Right now you've got 53 overcast with rain showers at times, 53 degrees. I don't think that gets rained out. It might just be like a, you know, it's April in New York. Sometimes the weather's not fun, but they get the game in.
Yeah, no. My app doesn't even have it. Your app goes out that far?
Well, I have the weather app.
Like, got a nice little 14-day guy you're looking at?
Yeah, the Weather Channel app.
Okay, all right.
You can't just go off what Steve Jobs wants you to have. Can't trust big tech.
Got anything else? Excited for the season, man.
Yeah, I'm excited baseball's back. I don't have to think about what to watch on TV. People who just were like, how do you not sign Trevor Bauer after that are fucking laughable.
I'm sick of hearing about fucking Trevor Bauer. The guy's a scumbag.
Here's the fun. Like, there are other women who have accusations against him beyond just this one. He busted up the spider tack thing. In general, he's kind of a dick to teammates. The league does not want him. Like, you can't break the law while breaking the law. You know, if you're driving with weed in your car, put your seatbelt on.
Great analogy, right? Wow, great analogy. Yeah, he was, because he was always towing that line and being a dickhead even before.
Yeah, give him an excuse, and he gave him an excuse. And now, because Rachel Luba has like tied so much of her career to him, because she was like, oh, I've got him, and why am I?
Oh, blank? Puig.
Yeah, if she doesn't get a player on a 40-man roster this year, she loses her agent certification with the MLBPA.
Oh, so she's desperate. So she needs to get him signed.
Yeah. And like, I could see like why a team would sign him if they want to like take that blowback, have that 50-50, you know. But I don't want him on the Yankees. We just don't need that distraction. Him and Cole don't get along. There's no situation where I think it makes sense for the Yankees.
Makes no sense. We just got rid of how many domestic abusers? Chapman, Herman, who's that slapdick reliever? We had Jimmy Cordero. Like, enough. Yeah. Enough with this. By the way, speaking of scumbag pitchers, did you see the article about Herman?
Yeah, I saw the fucking headline because I don't pay for NJ.com. But like, yeah, I know I got fired because I was drunk, but I don't have a drinking problem, so I still drink.
Dude, that guy has serious, serious issues.
I read the first, like, you know, you can read the first paragraph, and it was just like waking up in an unfamiliar place. It was day two, and he was like, oh, four more weeks of this. Like, my guy. It's not like that just happened that one time. You also hit women.
Yeah, very, yeah, that guy's serious. Serious issues. Glad he's off the team. Look, maybe the vibes will be better this year without all the scumbags that we got rid of.
ARA under 4, don't hit women. All we need. Follow Nick on Twitter at NKirbyNYY. Follow me at JJ from the Bronx. Follow the show at George's Box Pod. I don't know, another episode I said what intern Jax is. He's still doing sign language for college. So good for him. We're going to probably adjust our schedule once the season starts so that we can have him in, and then we'll go back to recording on Mondays when he's out of college in like the beginning of April, or I don't know, or like late April. I don't know. We're figuring it out. It's a fluid thing, you know, because we also got Easter. We got WrestleMania. There's a lot going on. Dude, The Rock is back.
Have fun, buddy.
All right, man. Have a good one. And we'll see you at the parade. I forgot how to end the show.